Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, you're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN, lots and lots of news to discuss on this Tuesday, April 23rd. University of Memphis is looking for a new AD. How about that? Larry Veach was just on with Jeff Calkins. I believe that was on Friday. Talking about the big news, obviously, with NIL and FedEx and the deal with the University of Memphis. He is on his way to Mizzou. Knew he'd been a candidate for that gig, that open AD spot at Mizzou, and knew this was all possible. And so now, University of Memphis got work to do. Who will be next to lead, perhaps, this athletic department into the new frontier? A new frontier, perhaps, where you're getting called up to a Power Four? We'll see. We'll see if that's all coming. But certainly, Laird Veach and what he's really accomplished here in the last
few months,
because, again, renovations to
right.
Simmons Bank, the getting the $50 million again. Again, he's not just the guy
right.
that's responsible, but the oversight.
Well, he's the man in the job.
It was his watch.
Yeah.
And so we'll talk about that, sort of what he's accomplished as he heads out of here, what the University of Memphis will need. There's candidate names already out there, certainly some guys that John and I discussed yesterday. We'll talk about that. Penny Hardaway's working, and I'm eager to see what my partner thinks about it. Now, y'all know he had some concerns a couple of weeks ago about how Penny Hardaway was putting this 2024-25 team together. He's added two more. I'll give you a little sneak peek. I think my man was impressed with at least one of them. Okay. You tweeted that, by the way. I saw two blown leads last night in the NBA. Wow. And I'm not sure which one I couldn't believe more. Actually, I am. That's easy. It was the Sixers' loss.
Right.
Because Denver owns the Lakers. I don't care if you're up 30. They're going to walk you down if you are the Lakers. They own you. It's now 10 in a row that they've won over the Lakers. Pretty crazy last night in the NBA. And then, well, we got a hot thing going. We have got the hottest thing in betting.
Did you think I was going to forget?
Bad Brad.
It's unbelievable.
Bad Brad.
Brad, you got my, I told John as we came on, you got my wife thinking about getting an account over with FanDuel.
It's getting hard to be this bad, but here we are.
If you have faded Brad Carson, then, as we've instructed you to do with this new segment that's sweeping the nation, ladies and gentlemen, you are hitting at an 83.3% win clip. Brad's losing. You're winning if you are fading. And now, despite our advice yesterday, people are so confident, John, in Brad's ability to pick ills that they are parlaying. They are fading him and parlaying what we told them not to do.
And that was not the advice.
Do these in singles. Oh. They are parlaying it last night. You hit all three.
Amazing.
You are amazing.
Terrible.
Like, how?
No, but
what is your secret?
Honest.
How do you get
being directly
this many picks this wrong?
Less research, total honesty.
I still, though, being this consistent is not terrible. Because, again, people are profiting And so while you call it terrible, and I realize why you're saying that, nobody's this consistent when it comes to picking losers. We could tell somebody to go out there and pick all the wrong teams.
You can't try to be this bad.
They would not hit at the clip that you are. No. It is amazing.
You can't try to be this bad.
10 of 12, ladies and gentlemen. If you have faded him, you have hit on 10 of 12.
That's crazy. Embarrassing. I mean, it's slightly embarrassing.
Nobody knows how crazy this is more than the man across from me. Mm. He's the expert in this stuff.
He is.
And I don't think, ladies and gentlemen, he's seen anything like it.
If I would have bet every single one of your picks at my standard unit, I would be up mid four figures right now. Like, I would be up so much money right now. Now, I have taken my sizing down for the NBA just I'm betting so much, right?
Yeah.
And it's so random. But I will say I was on the Cavs last night. I thought about the Lakers, couldn't quite get there. But I was on the Cavs last night, and I'm so anxious to hear your plays for the day.
Oh, I'm sure we'll. Many are.
I'll
many,
have
many
to formulate
are.
Them.
See, Donald Trump is now interested.
No question. Because he you know, he's trying to come up with some,
need some help.
Legal fees.
Right. Yeah, I forgot about
so
that.
So now he's going to be inputs. Putting billions and billions and billions on the Milwaukee Bucks tonight. No, we'll see. We'll have to see what Brad comes up with. But,
that's amazing.
The listeners are very excited about your we got three playoff games tonight, which is an opportunity for you to lose once again.
And once again, I barely looked at them.
Yes.
I do know them now. I'm aware of them.
He does know them. Yeah, we'll get
got
to them.
The times and everything.
The question is,
in just a moment,
is he trying to pick them wrong?
On purpose. Then the answer
point.
Is no.
Or... Right, are you trying to snap out of it at this point, and this is just magically happening?
No,
because anybody's going to want to.
That presumes he knows what the right side is.
Yeah, but
you got it. Me and you, we would be wanting to break out of it.
Well, it's different when you're talking about against the spread, though. It's not just picking the winner.
That's the key right there.
You know
Thank
what I mean?
You, John. It's the spread. For example, yesterday I was talking about that, was it the Sixers game, and I was more focused on the spread than I was the result.
Right.
You know?
If we were just asking him to pick the winner, I think he'd be doing a lot better. But, you know, when you introduce the spread angle to it, it makes it.
Now, today's spreads,
But he's making it look easy.
When we did the Patty's picks, I was trying to win, and I couldn't. You know, it's so damn difficult when you introduce the. Now, that was the NFL, but I don't think the NBA playoffs are much more. I don't think they're much easier than the NFL, just to be totally clear.
I was asking John last night, Brad, does this extend this magic into the NFL?
Yeah.
Can your magic extend, or is this just on NBA playoffs that you have the magic or not? You know, that's something we'll have to test.
We may do college football.
But we have to test this magic and see if it translates over in other sports as well.
I think at the very
if you're
least,
that good,
we have identified an annual
should I make a
playoffs. I mean, this is cemented. NBA playoffs, you are cemented, bro. 10 of 12 to start?
Well, the other big sports events, you've got the NFL draft. We know who's going to be number one, so you'd be betting on who would be the number two pick in the NFL draft. Things like that. Is that where you're going with this?
Just games.
More games, so just, not
spreads,
events.
Because I like you on spreads.
Okay, yeah. Well,
you are consistent.
That Lakers spread was large, and for a reason, it appears.
Or not.
Or not.
Yeah. So that
or not.
Who's to say? We'll find out when Brad certainly.
You can recap too, because I even forgot what I picked yesterday.
Yeah, Brad had all the losers against the spread.
Yeah,
he had the Orlando Magic plus +5. They lose by 10. He had the New York Knicks minus -5.5. They win by, what, 3?
Yeah,
I think it was
in a ridiculous comeback. That was crazy. And then he had the Denver Nuggets minus -7, who won at the buzzer with a Jamal Murray step-back 3. Nuggets were absolutely the wrong side. They were down 21 in the second half.
Ridiculous.
Why did I pick that?
It was never a sweat. It was never really a sweat.
Nuggets had handled them. You thought 9 in a row, you thought Nuggets were going to roll.
But I mean,
you're getting felt like a last punch from the Lakers.
Exactly. I
suppose this next one is really their last punch.
I didn't have a problem with
me either. That's what I'm saying. Like, it felt like a guy that's trying to win.
Yeah, like I.
But amazingly.
But when
you lose.
What happened is, and it's hard to predict this from game to game, but D'Angelo Russell couldn't miss. He was 1 of whatever in game 1, and then he started 5 of 5 in game 2 from 3. I mean, how do you anticipate that happening? I guess you say, well, the law of averages. But you would have said the same thing about the Orlando Magic last night, And it's just not the law of averages.
Brad doesn't need laws of averages.
You know, last night.
He doesn't need numbers.
I got a call on my cell phone while I was at Jake's baseball game, and it was from the University of Memphis. And it wasn't from President Hargrave about Laird Veach leaving as the athletic director. It was actually from the gambling clinic that they've got over there because they want to use me as I know Jeff has been their spokesperson now for the last 6 months. They're trying to extend their brand beyond Jeff and something like this where a person is losing consistently, and it exemplifies how bad it is to gamble.
Absolutely. You know, for our listeners, the good news is they're profiting off of your...
I think you need to be careful. Somebody from the mob doesn't kidnap you and put you in the back of their trunk and just use it for their own good.
Yeah. That's like when you ask like the...
You kidnap them and just use it. The golden goose, like you said.
Like the hippopotamus for the Super Bowl or something. You just ask him to pick something here.
We've never seen anything like 83.3%.
I don't think that's going to keep up, but do I think there's...
You keep saying it. The odds are you're going to go 1-1. You're going to go to 1-2. You're going to go 2-1.
Yes.
He's beating
tight
the
lines
he
tonight.
He doesn't care about your averages or odds.
Tight lines tonight could be tough.
Tight lines tonight. I think it will be tough for you, Brad, and that's why I'm looking forward to it. But before we do get into all of that, Jessica Benson's going to join us at 11:25. We'll talk to her about the NBA playoff. And more. And then at 1:25, we will get with Nick Friedell from Odyssey NBA Sports and talk to him about the playoff matchups and what's transpired thus far in the postseason. But, yes, it was a newsy day for Memphis basketball yesterday as sort of out of nowhere, like Sting coming down from the rafters, they land a commitment from – they land two commitments. One was on a visit, which we'll get to a little bit later, but the first – was not previously reported. Texas transfer guard Tyrese Hunter, who is the number 12 transfer in America, according to 247 Sports, averaged 11.1 points a game last year at Texas in the Big 12, averaged 4.1 assists. I watched a little bit of him. And, you know, what I would say about Tyrese Hunter is that he is a gamer. That is sort of how I would describe him. You know, he is not the most consistent player in America. That shot 34% from three last year, so not super efficient, but did shoot 51% from two. So, you know, definitely very solid from, you know, the inside the three-point line, and has gotten better from three. You know, I watched him against Colorado State. I mean, he's pretty rangy, even though he's only 6'1". He was the rookie of the year in the Big 12 in 2022. Mm-hmm. Do I think, Jason, that he's a point guard? I think that's sort of probably not fair. I think he's just sort of a guard, you know, kind of, you know, can do both. I don't think he's just like, oh, he's a true point guard in that sense of the word when you think about, like, the distributor. But I think he is exactly the kind of player that Memphis should be targeting for its team because he's a proven contributor, a proven producer in a power conference, and he's dropping down to the AAC where I expect his numbers to go up considerably, much like Dane Danger. This is sort of the same ilk, and so I'm a big fan of the pickup.
I am as well. Now, he's pretty highly ranked. Isn't he top 15 in terms of in the portal?
Mm-hmm. 12 at 247.
And a guy who we had said when you got P.J. Haggerty, okay, he's got to play point guard at Tulsa, but do you want him as your main ball handler all the time? Also, you know, over 100 assists, but also had the 80 turnovers. We'd said, be nice if you had a point guard who, oh, by the way, could play some defense.
Yep.
And Hunter can do that, by all accounts. I'm with you. I don't think he's pure, but with Haggerty, you got two playmakers up there, okay? So it makes a lot of sense in terms of from an offensive standpoint. Both of those guys can be playmakers. Both of them have averaged over three assists, four assists. I think for Hunter, he was at five assists over at Iowa State. So he's done it before, but again, having another guy that can do that helps here. I think you can play both. You don't necessarily need pure, especially because for me, again, a lot of this was going to be about getting your identity back as much as you can when you've got to flip a whole roster. But you're getting guys who it looks like to me defensively are going to buy in for you. That's the other part about it. Other thing about it, he's got 2 years. I ain't saying Hunter's going to be here 2 years, but another transfer that you brought in now, there's only one, John, that I can count that is a one-year guy, that's Colby Rogers. You know, Hunter is 2 years. Okoji is 3 years. You're bringing in the kind of multi-year transfers. We said that if you're going to get some, you know, some continuity in your program, you need some of these transfers that are going to potentially stay for a couple of years. You've done that. Haggerty's got three. Be nice if you kept him at least two. That's another point of this. But I think defensively, too, is where Hunter can – with everything you said about him offensively, but defensively, you know, having him, P.J. Haggerty out front. P.J. Haggerty was a guy who, you know, really thrived sometimes when it came to steals. Defensively, I see something. I see a theme here.
Right.
And especially, again, if you go out and you get the type of big – you know, we've sort of envisioned next to Dane, whether that's a Moose or whatever else, you know, the getting back to defense just as important as how these things fit offensively, like both sides of it for Tyrese Hunter.
Yeah, I think it's a good pickup. And so I think where you have to sort of, you know, stop short is like trying to project how it's going to all fit in and look together. Like, I just think like, okay, this is a good player. He produced. I think he'll do well.
Well, he's starting.
Yeah, he's a starter. There's no doubt about that.
You know?
Yeah, I think the starter. I mean, I think Kobe Rogers is starting.
I do too. I think that's your 1-2-3.
And then I think Dane Danger is starting.
I think that's your 1-2-3-4 or 1-2-3-5.
Yeah, like I saw Parth had Jordan at the five in his depth chart, but as the starter, I don't think Jordan would be starting over Dane Danger.
Again, play together? Yeah, but don't you and I? But they're going to go out and get another big. I mean, they wouldn't have contacted Musa Cissé if they're not looking and engaged in trying to get another big.
So I think a very possible starting five right now for Memphis as it all starts to come together is Hunter, Haggerty, Rogers, Danger, and Cissé. I think that's a very possible starting five.
Y'all know the name we're not saying, David Jones, but it sure seems like they're operating as if, okay, we're going to have a backup plan. We're going to have a lineup for if David Jones is not back. Should he elect to go ahead and stay the NBA route? There's you a five. Again, a little more work to do. Got to get a center. I'm with you. And then Jordan stays in a very valuable position coming off the bench where he's been great. That's the thing about him. Whether it's as a starter or as a bench guy, Jordan's shown that, you know, he can be effective in both. And so, you know, you can start to see the picture coming together, even though he's still got, what, five, six open spots.
Exactly. And they also added, not to be confused with Barack Obama, Baraka Okoji, they added from George Mason as a backup, as a depth guard last night. You know, again, you have to have some of that. You have to have some depth. You don't have to go crazy over every player. Every player can't be a starter. You do have to have some guys who are willing to come in here and not play as much. Although, knowing Penny, he will get certainly his shots. To do that. So, yeah, Barack Okoji averaged 8 a game at George Mason. His splits were pretty rough, honestly, to look at, especially from three. But he does some good things, and from what I hear, is a guy that can be developed. Do I have a lot of faith that that will happen here? Not really. But, you know, you got to have players that come in here knowing they're not going to start and having that expectation. And maybe you get some, you know, some timely shots from him, or if somebody gets hurt, he can step in. You know, I mean, that's, you got to have somebody on the roster who's a little bit more prepared than Jared Harris, for example, the freshman.
Right.
So I think that's kind of what they're, you know, some potential, some upside. Who knows what's ever realized, but, you know, it's kind of there if you ever need it.
Yeah, I mean, the key is you have to play them enough, right, in terms of development. They have to be enough that they want to come back.
Exactly.
And
right.
Okoji's got 3 years, to John's point. And if you're going to, is he going to stay the entire time if he's not playing next year, if he's behind all these guys? And that's my thing here is that clearly he understands. He sees the news. He sees what Penny's got so far in here, knows that he's committing on the same day as a Tyrese Hunter and that they've already got P.J. Haggerty in the fold, and then there's still the outside chance, maybe you called outside, maybe not, of David Jones coming back. He's got to understand that coming in, that, okay, I'm going to be a non-starter. Maybe he's okay with that.
Yep.
Maybe that's the point here because, again, you see, I mean, he's committing on the same day as a guy who's going to a starter coming over from Texas. They've got P.J. Haggerty, and so maybe it's a deal where he understands I'm going to be behind guys and have to earn it. And then to the other point, look, when Caleb Mills went down, it seemed like this team's, you know, want to on the defensive end for a lot of, you know, for a lot of these guys. I mean, not going to say you didn't get effort from any of them, but that was your guy. You need more than one guy.
Right.
That's a dog defensively that could do that. And hopefully Okoji can bring that, and that can be your ticket out there as well. But, yeah, I mean, the hope is that you're, you know, you've got enough of a season in terms of balance that, yeah, you can get an Okoji out there, develop him enough that he feels – okay, yes, I'm a part of this going forward. That's the, I mean, Haggerty 3 years, Danger's got two, Winton, that seems to have been cleared up. Colby Rogers is the only one of these guys that's 1 year. Hunter's two. Okoji's three. Again, the potential to keep some of this going forward, which we said was so key in terms of John's made the point. You want to get as many cracks at it as possible. Right? Make the tournament and get as many cracks as possible. You do that by keeping some continuity. It's harder when you're flipping entire rosters over. So from that standpoint, you've gone out and gotten some guys that, yeah, look like they could be multi-year guys for you, a la a DeAndre Williams, who was, you know, so critical to what you did for, what, 3 years?
Exactly. So, again, I think that, you know, now it's like, okay, you got to go get your big. Go get your big, your, you know.
Well, I'd take more than one.
Yep, go get a one or two.
I mean, you got plenty more open spots, but definitely a big. I'd like a starting center.
Like, I think I could go find, like, a sixth man, right? Like, a guy that can come off the bench and give you some punch. And then you're kind of, you know, I guess you can wait on David Jones, but,
Yeah, I mean, you're playing. That's a whole plan without David Jones. That's good.
Yeah.
You needed to have that.
Exactly.
So that you're not waiting till June and, you know. Now you've missed out on other guys because you've held a spot that you could have filled with somebody valuable.
Exactly.
Seems like that's what they're doing.
I think that is what they're doing, and I think it's a good plan. I think it's smart, and so it's coming together. The picture is starting to emerge. I like what they did yesterday. Again, I am a fan of going after, rather than asking people to sort of come up and play at a new level that they've never played before. I would rather have players who are coming down a little bit who already showed. Like, Tyrese Hunter's a Power 5 player, played at Iowa State, played at Texas. He's a Power 5 kid.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's coming to the AAC. I do think he'll feast. I do think he'll be able to have his way with the AAC, right? I just do. Now, some people have UAB in the top 25 in the preseason, so that'll be interesting to see. Is Memphis once again going to find itself not installed as the AAC preseason favorite?
See how the rest of it comes together.
That's, like, shocking in some ways.
Yeah.
That Memphis would not be the favorite.
I mean, if you did have David Jones back, you'd be the favorite. If you didn't, I could see a world where they're picked second because the roster is so new. And you saw last year. You have last year as an example of how it could all go wrong. I don't care about where they're picked as much as I care. You better win the thing.
Right.
And I'm going to be honest with you. Last year, we were talking about more so about how this team fit, how it fit together offensively. We liked the names and what we say. Oh, man, you had so many number one scorers from previous places that when a guy's off, they'll be able to create offense, offense, offense. And we talked so much about offense. Defense fell to 104. That, hopefully these dudes are going to be the kind that are bought in on that. So that's what's got to get back. That's,
right.
Again, that's what Penny was able to hang his hat on for 5 years. It went out the window last year. And so I don't care as much as how it fits offensively now, as much as I do defensively. You got to get that back.
Exactly.
And so going and getting a rim protector, because Dane ain't really that.
No, he's not.
Right. Rim protection.
Body,
Jordan, active, all that. That's not what he does, though.
Right.
Need that rim protector. That's why I like the Musa fit a lot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So a good start for Memphis as they try to fill out the rest of the roster. But two pieces yesterday and the picture getting a little bit clear. We'll come back with Jessica Benson, talk to her about the NBA playoffs, lots more. Stick around, Jason and John.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Turn FM, ESPN.
Jessica Benson is the host of the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt, part of the Grizz Radio Network during the season. She joins us every single Tuesday, and she joins us now. Is this elder abuse, what the Denver Nuggets are doing to the Los Angeles Lakers?
No. We can't both say, oh, LeBron, turn back the clock, and then also call it elder abuse, you know?
No, it's what we do with old people. You know, we oh, wow, that look at the way they ate their dinner. That's incredible. You know?
Oh, do it again. Congratulations. Yes. Oh, you solved your Sudoku puzzle.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, all by
Isn't
yourself.
Isn't it just a reminder of how weird sports are, though, that we're having those kind of conversations in an elder space of a 39-year-old man? Like, how old does that make you feel?
Oh, no, it makes me feel real old. But, like, Nikola Jokic won't even be in the league at 39. Like,
no,
that's the thing.
I'm convinced,
like,
of that, too.
He is, like, in basketball years, that man is 60 years old.
Yeah, he is wise beyond his years. And I just think, based on what we've seen from Nikola Jokic, and he could prove us wrong, I always think we kind of get in the weeds of, like, Nikola Jokic just comes and does his job and then goes and rides horses in the off season, and there's truth to that, but he's also competitive as hell,
right?
You know? But it's just a difference in, maybe it's a difference between Americans and those around the world and how we approach work and how long we want to work and the longevity behind our work. And so when I look at Nikola Jokic, I feel like he can accomplish all that he wants to accomplish in the next couple of years, which is also just a testament to how good this Nuggets team is and how good he is, that makes it feel as if other teams in the West, as long as Nikola Jokic is around, are going to have a really tough time representing the conference in the finals.
Okay, how much of it is the Knicks took it from him, and then how much of it was Philly just gave it away? And then I'm going to leave a little bit of room, Jess, if you would, for... Hey, there was, you know, no call on the Maxey thing. Nick Nurse is complaining that he should have gotten a timeout. You know, it was wild down the stretch. Who gets the blame? You know, who gets the credit?
I'm going no blame on the officiating. And the same goes for LeBron James, who was crying about the no call on D'Lo, or the reverse call on D'Lo at the end of the third quarter.
That's,
the third
that
quarter
one's
call,
ridiculous.
It's not a game-defying.
Yes.
It was so dumb. But this, too, I think my biggest credit goes towards the Knicks being built to win games like that. Like, Tibbs coach teams can win rock fights when the refs swallow their whistles and say, all right, step up. We're not going to call anything. Let them play. And the Knicks don't get frazzled. And I was honestly a bit surprised to see the Sixers get as frazzled as they did in that moment. I mean, Nick Nurse is a championship coach now in Philadelphia, having won a championship in Toronto, and Kyle Lowry is a player who's been there. Obviously, so much comes into the Joel Embiid of it all, because he can't do what he needs to do despite putting up huge numbers and still being somehow effective despite looking like the most miserable man on the basketball court. But I'll put most of the credit of the Knicks going in there and showing that they are a team that can win playoff games like that. They're not a perfect team either, but I think they're good enough to honestly sweep the Sixers. It's really hard for me to look at that Philadelphia team and think they have anything left in the tank.
Yeah, I don't know how either of those teams gets off the mat, right? I'm in total agreement. I don't see how, you know. And again, you're playing the guessing game with Embiid with his health. I mean, I'd love to see Embiid as a player get, you know, find a way to, you know, make a real run. But it doesn't feel like it's in the cards for him for whatever reason.
It's not fun to watch. Like, that game last night was fun. That game ruled. We were all like, yes, this is playoff basketball. And then getting the doubleheader of it all, too, was great. But you're watching Joel Embiid, and there's such a discomfort because this is a man who is so clearly in pain. Like, even with, I don't know if he had a rebound in the second half of that game, but the number of times that the ball, like, gently grazed his hand, and he didn't even grab for it because he can't jump for it. He can't move for any excess movement. He cannot do. And that's it's so crazy that he is still the best player on the Sixers, the most important player on the Sixers, and you can make a case for Tyrese Maxey, and he was tremendous last night. But the plus-minus with Joel Embiid on the court versus off the court for Philadelphia just shows they are incapable of winning without him. And even when he's on the court, what percentage of Joel Embiid are we getting right now? And it's got to be pretty low.
Yeah, I'm kind of like Maxey even tossing it to him at the very end, like to take this three. And, you know, Joel's sitting there with the sore knee and tries. I'm just the fact that it's just those two, it feels like it's them or bust, because Tobias Harris, who I was complaining about last week,
yeah,
you know, is making $39 million a year and it's giving you 10-9. Meanwhile, Josh Hart on the other side is going for like 21-15. Like, they're not getting anything from the other guys, and it's putting so much. Yeah, it's putting on so much.
What happened to Buddy Hield?
Oh my gosh!
Where are you? Who have you become? And yes, you got an awesome game from Nick Batum in the play-in, but that's not the regular. And so, and on the flip side, like you said, the Knicks are getting such good minutes out of Josh Hart thus far, and I don't know when he's going to stop making threes, but through two games, he's been so efficient. And you're even getting some good stuff from Deuce McBride off the bench. Yep. I know Mitchell Robinson didn't do anything last night and because you got such an excellent performance from Isaiah Hartenstein. But they just feel the Knicks are not a perfect team either. Like, not having Julius Randle is hard. And I don't necessarily think this is a New York team built to go incredibly far in the East, but they've got this first round in lock.
I'll just say it just because you mentioned him, but I just look at Hartenstein and that effort at the end, which gives them, it gives DiVincenzo the second shot that ends up being the dagger. I look at him as like, that's perfect for here. Like that kind of player, that kind of energy, that kind of guy next to Jaren.
Over the last week or so, I get it. Like, I know Grizzlies fans, there have been a section of the Grizzlies fans population that have been very much on the I heart train for a little bit now.
Yep, yep.
And watching that game last night, you know, no tampering, no anything involved. But like a key to the best pro pyramid, like he's going to get so much money. He's going to have the opportunity to get paid this offseason. The best pro pyramid is a great home. I think anyone would love a world wonder, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
But you're right. I mean, he does the dirty work between the offensive rebound, the block, sets good screens, gets down there, gets dirty. And he just has the size and the profile of
exactly,
in my opinion, and I know many people look out there and say, the best version of Jaren Jackson Jr. comes playing next to a guy who looks like Isaiah Hartenstein.
Right. Yeah, we're talking to Jessica Benson, joins us every Tuesday here on the show, Catch Her on Grind City Media, every single morning, Catch Her on the Grizz Radio Network during the season. All right, Memphis needs a new AD. Laird Veach is heading to Missouri. He had been linked to that job two separate times. So it was only a matter of time. Eventually, it felt like that he got the job, whether it was this time or maybe the next time it came around. So for Memphis, what would you like to see in terms of the next hire for them at that spot?
Well, I think Laird Veach has left them or is leaving them in a pretty comfortable position for where you are now, right? Like, you have your coaches shored up, you have the money with the NIL FedEx deal coming in this week, the stadium renovation plans are heading in the right direction. And so for the now, someone comes in and can just, you know, do the basics. But it's for the future that you put the eye on. And Veach did such a good job in fundraising and making sure that the money is collected and going through the University of Memphis and Memphis money and FedEx money being committed to the long game for U of M. So now you need to find somebody who perhaps has a little bit more of a raised desire for a public profile and the push of the politicking that will be involved in finally getting Memphis out of the American and into either the Big 12 or the ACC. Because one of these days, the walls are going to become crumbling down on the group of five conferences, and you want to be one of the teams that survives, and your best bet at that is being in one of those bigger conferences. And Memphis knows that, and everyone here knows that. And so finding an athletic director who perhaps has the connections or the strategy that you need in order to position Memphis as best as possible of having that opportunity when it comes up. Obviously, it's in the best place that it's been. The NIL deal was huge with FedEx. The national respect and attention that got, I think, spoke volumes. And so now you have to take those reins and go from here.
Yeah, see, I'm with you. I look at it like, you know, and some people look at this as a con, you know, and not one of the pros, but when you had Fuente and Norvell, right, succeeding here as the best thing outside the power structure, basically, what it do? It got them bigger jobs, and it was a great, jump off, to be honest with you. And some people don't like that, right? They want a guy that's going to be here forever. I think with this AD thing, it's the same thing now. I think it's better because of what you mentioned. The deal you've got in place with FedEx, the fact that you've got control now of your football facility, renovations coming. I think it's a better job than it was when Laird Veach got here, in 2019? And for that same reason, look at what's happened. Like, you got Veach going to Missouri. You know, Ren Baker, who was here as a deputy, has gone on now at West Virginia, Mark Allnut, Buffalo. Like, it can be that springboard to a bigger job that should get you some attractive candidates. I just look at it as I can be the best thing outside the power structure, and boom, that can land me a great job within the power structure. That should be a good thing, an attractive thing.
Right, and it gives you the multi-tiered options of where you go from here, too.
Yeah.
You can look towards a capital AD, a big-time athletic director at a smaller school, right, but has the big job at a school that is below the ranks of Memphis but has the experience and is, you know, growing up on the ladder there. Or you can go and try to take somebody from a larger athletic department, an SEC school or a Big Ten school or whatever it may be, who is on the rise in the field.
Right.
But you have options, and I think that's exciting. And I'm never going to fault somebody for jumping and taking a job in the SEC. Like, you can love Memphis, you can respect Memphis, you can want the best for Memphis and think that they deserve to be in a better conference than the American. And at the end of the day, the SEC, from the power structure of college athletics right now, it's them and the Big Ten. So it's a sensible move for Laird Veach. And now you just hope, and I think you take comfort in the fact that you are situated to be a attractive job for a candidate on the rise.
Yeah, I think that is exactly right, and I think it's the most important moment for that job that that program's ever seen. I mean, for all those reasons, like you have a chance, whoever this next person is, your legacy be absolutely legendary.
Well, and Veach has done a lot of the work just in terms of what's in place.
Yeah,
his oversight. Of this, right?
So I mean,
the transition.
I think it's a great job. I mean, there are pitfalls that come with it. I mean, you might have to make a very hard decision on Penny, you know? I mean, I think that's really something your first year on the job, you may have to, figure out how to off-ramp
Penny. Well, it's a delicate situation, more delicate than usual, because he's an ambassador as well. So he's a donor.
Sure.
And so, you know.
I definitely think that's a consideration.
You need somebody confident.
You know, sure. Yeah. But
somebody confident, and perhaps you find someone, and I think there are pluses and minuses that can be made with somebody who already has some sort of connection to the city, either had been here previously or someone who is here, and you could say, oh, that person knows the ins and outs of Memphis, and that's a huge positive. Or do you have somebody with fresh eyes and lesser connections come in, where perhaps if you are put in a tricky situation, the politicking there lies in a different place? And I think you can make an argument for either case. It'll really come down to the best candidate.
Yeah. All right, what do you make of the way that Penny has sort of built and constructed his roster here, adding a George Mason point guard as a sort of a backup there, and Barack Okogie, and then Tyrese Hunter from Texas, who conceivably slide right into the starting lineup?
Yeah, I mean, you're getting the guys, right? I mean, this was the expectation, too. We know what Penny Hardaway has been able to do in the transfer portal historically, and now it feels like there's more attention to how the pieces all fit together, and that's what people wanted to see, perhaps a more cohesive team coming out of the portal versus, oh, hey, these were some really great individual guys. I don't quite see the vision of how this all fits together, but it's also a testament to, the NIL FedEx deal that we just talked about. You're going to be able to be in the mix of recruits who perhaps you were not going to have the edge on previously, to not having that big pile of money to come from. Like, that's just the name of the game right now. And Memphis is doing a really good job of making sure that they have the positioning to play the game. Like, you have to have the money. You have to have the checkbook to be able to write the checks to even begin to construct what you want. And I think you're seeing good early returns from that. I don't know if it's going to be the kind of team that immediately gets you attention of being a preseason top 25 team per se, but you're at least creating something that gives you a vision, and that's a great place to start.
Jess, have you seen the NBA promo commercials with Chris Rock on them saying, I think it's something like playoff basketball, it's a thing, and the players saying it's not a thing? Have you seen that?
Oh, I don't
know. Chris
know.
Rock doing the voicing, and I'm going to tell you why it bothers me, because I'm trying to remember I don't think he's done anything necessarily in partnership with NBA since Lil Penny. And so what I'm hearing on these, I wish I had pulled it up or something and had it to plat. That's what I should have done if I'd been more prepared. Just it came up here just thinking about it. But it sounds like Lil Penny doing it because it's Chris Rock's voice, and of course he was the voice. I mean, if you thought of Lil Penny, it was Chris Rock's voice. And it sounds like, you know, Lil Penny should be in there. So I guess I'm disappointed that Chris Rock came back. You know, we're using his voice again associated with the NBA, and it's not a Lil Penny in there. But there's no way to incorporate Lil Penny because he's a college coach and they're not involved in the playoffs.
Yeah. Right. And I know the commercial you're talking
about now.
My brain has unfortunately been turned to goo with No Flex Zone, which has overtaken the What a Pro Wants place in my brain. I go around my house. My husband wants to murder me. Hopefully there won't be a true crime podcast. But I just constantly say, No Flex
Zone.
And I just wait for him to say Zone, and he won't do it.
We're doing the same thing in our house.
It's so obnoxious. I cannot handle it through the remainder of the playoffs. But yeah, it would have been fun if it had been Lil Penny doing those commercials. The playoff mode, it's not a thing.
I guess it's really just ultimately my disappointment in the fact that, you know, when Penny got that job, I think we all sort of envisioned in some way Lil Penny would be back, whether it was on our shirts or in commercials or some branding. We would have moments at
press conferences constantly. Alluding to, hey, is Lil Penny coming back? And there would be these like wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
That's what it is. Now you're right.
Here we are, years later, still haven't seen him back.
Yeah, I tell you what. You know what commercial I don't mind, and we see a lot of it, and we should mind it. But the iPhone commercial,
they're great.
Oh, I hate that song, one too.
No, I love that one. Let me go.
No, they've all been great.
Because I relate to that. I'm like, bro, I ran out of iCloud storage like 2 years ago.
The other one about the electrical outlet that they did, and he's missing the cord because your battery's dead.
So they've been very clever.
How come you like that one,
but you don't like this one?
Because I get really annoyed with iPhone storage because I feel like I'm constantly paying more for more storage, and then somehow I'll do an update, and it will take up a random, like, you know when you're looking at how your storage is blocked off on your phone, and there's just the miscellaneous gray bar that you have no idea. You can't delete things. It's nothing accessible to you. It just exists.
Right.
And that's what that commercial makes me think of. So it's relatable, though.
I don't want to delete the photos. Like, you know what I'm saying?
That's what makes it so good.
How many photos do you have in your phone?
Does it tell you? Okay. I have 13,351 photos.
You're going to die.
I have
35,847 photos.
Wow. What about you, Jason?
I have 6,000 videos.
14.8.
Okay.
14,824.
30,000 is a lot, bro.
You are more than double me. And you had 13?
Yeah.
So we're sort of in the same territory.
Yes.
She's on a different plane.
I try to clean. You know how Marie Kondo has the, like, simplify your life plan, the cleaning where you clean your home? There's a version of that for your digital footprint, and I've tried time and time again to start organizing my photos, but 35,000 just feels like I need to give up. Like, there's no going back. There's no hope. I'm just going to keep them. But I have a lot of throwbacks. Like, I've taken pictures of photo albums when I'm at home going through storage, and so I have all of those on my phone, too.
Crazy.
Do you have any storage left? How can you make a call on that thing?
I had to buy the biggest storage for the iPhone.
Yeah, but what is that, by the way?
I don't know. Whatever the expensive
one is. It's a terabyte.
A
couple terabytes.
And what does that cost a month? I'm on like a $299 joint, and that's clearly I've run out of...
I'm on the same $299.
I'm on like a $12.99.
Dang. Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, I'm not far from that. When you start having kids and you had two kids, and it's like you start taking pictures, and obviously you'll just take pictures regardless. But, you know, I notice now I'm like, oh, I do the trading card thing on eBay. Like, I got like so many pictures, you know, I'm just running out of space. And that's how they get you. That's how they get you, man. You know, because
I'm going to try to delete 100 photos today. You've inspired me.
It won't even make a dent.
Yeah, that's a waste of time.
That's like the whole weekend.
Yeah, like at this point, you just have to keep them.
Yeah, I think so.
Most of my photos are on the iCloud, too. So when I go back to look at photos, if I'm not connected to the Wi-Fi, then they have to download, and I can't even look at them to begin with. It's a struggle that I must endure.
Get your life together, Jess.
I'm trying.
Hey, don't let us go, Jess. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate
it. Bye.
She's Jessica Benson, 30-plus thousand.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
I think she's 35.
Hey, Brad, can you pull up that commercial real quick, that iPhone commercial, Don't Let Me Go, iPhone?
It's not that good.
I think it's pretty good. I think it's pretty good. I think it's by the Chet Holmgren SGA commercial.
Let me go.
This is it. Yeah.
Don't let me go.
No.
Don't let me go.
No.
Don't let me go.
No, no, no.
Don't let me go.
Don't let me go.
Don't you ever let me go.
Don't you ever let me go.
That's how I feel about
it. I love it. iPhone is an amazing device.
It's so relatable because we've all gone through there and been like, no, I'm not going to delete that one. Like, that one means a little bit, right? Where we're either trying to clean out or going
through. I have 25,000. I'm closer to Jessica. Yeah, and I've got like 8,000 videos. I video and I chronicle everything. I have 3,500 contacts, too. The contacts is a big part of mine.
Yeah, that's all photos for me, man. It's all photos. That's how I feel about the Fade Brad segment. You know, like, we can't let that go. We got to ride that thing into the ground.
Hold on. How many videos again?
I think I have, let me pull it up. I thought it was over 7,000.
What's your video count, John?
Video count?
Yeah.
I have, I have 1,540 videos.
I'm 1,476.
Yeah, I have 7,500 videos. Yeah.
This man has 7,500 videos. To go with all those pictures.
It's all Jake playing baseball.
Tons of them are Jake. And Jake is 16. And I've had a phone that whole time. So 16 years of videos and interesting. I've also gotten an archive of when he was a little baby from my flip phone. So
do you remember how I told you we left the Gasol retirement game early?
Yeah.
Because it was such a terrible game.
Right.
And so you know what Chris did? Because he wanted to stay.
What's that?
I remember he said I peer pressured him into leaving.
Right.
He went home, and he videoed with my iPad, which is my same iCloud. He videoed the whole 38-minute ceremony afterwards. The whole thing.
Wow.
On television.
Oh,
on
off the phone.
Wow. And when I saw it, I said, you a damn fool. I said, that's 38 minutes of my cloud that you are sucking up. And I know why you did this just to get back at me. I said, you can pull up the whole thing on YouTube. And he's a YouTube user. He knows it. That was his way of getting back, using up my cloud storage with a 38-minute video. I went back, I scolded him. And I went in there and I erased it in his face.
Damn.
I said, you can watch this mess on YouTube.
You can.
The exact same thing. The exact whole ceremony that he had recorded off Bally's that night.
Yep.
And in terms of that was his, he's mad at me that we left and he didn't get to see it in person. So he's going to limit my iCloud storage. That's how these kids get you back.
And I just got an email that my Gmail is almost now out of storage as we literally were just doing
this. Yeah, I didn't know you could do that either.
Crazy.
I heard Jeffrey talking about it the other day. His is at limit. I didn't know you could do Gmail. There's a
now that's a little limit. Easier. You can delete emails. Right? Like, and just not
like by the dozens, right?
You don't have to go by one. Inbox. You know?
Yeah, that's easy.
All those years. Anyway.
You got to clean up, man.
Yeah, that's exactly right, or else that's how they get you.
Brad, you got a lot of stuff. You got a lot of baggage.
I'm good. iPhone lets you carry
it.
It's money well invested. It's memories and fun and obviously work.
Obviously work, indeed. All right, we'll come back. Brad will give you his picks a little bit later on today's playoff games. And remember, you know what to do. You fade what Brad suggests. So we'll do that a little bit later. And Nick Friedell will join us at 1:25. Stick around. Jason and John, 99.9 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.